In our scripture for this morning, we're instructed that Jesus told his disciples to go before him to the other side, to leave without him. I suspect that many of us feel that we're going before the Lord in the sense that in the journey of life, Jesus is not with us. Have you ever felt that way? I know I certainly have. There come those times when the journey of life becomes stormy. The winds of adversity are at gale force against us. The waves threaten to overwhelm us. And often in times such as that, we feel that we are all alone. Sometimes we wonder, where is God? So the Bible says that they were beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. You may be at such a point in your life this morning. You may feel that you are tossed about by the waves of life and that everything is against you. Last year, when I was so desperately ill, people would say to me and to Sydney, "This must be a deeply spiritual experience for you." Let me tell you, it was not. Especially in the beginning, we often felt so alone, so cut off from God, so isolated. And when the winds of adversity blow about us, when the waves of sickness threaten to overwhelm us, we too sometimes wondered, where is God? You see, sometimes the journey of life can be very hard, very difficult. Sometimes our fear, our uncertainty can be so intense that we wonder if God has forgotten us. The first point I'd like to make this morning is this: Jesus comes to us when we don't expect him. The disciples were not expecting Jesus. He had sent them on ahead, and as far as they knew, he was back on the other shore, up in the hills, praying. So when he came to them, they thought he was a ghost. They couldn't believe it was really him. I suspect that is something we need to consider for ourselves. What are our expectations about Jesus? Do we really expect to meet him in the midst of the storm? And should he come, would we recognize him? Tip O'Neill tells a funny story on himself about an encounter with a man in an airport. The man said to the congressman, "You don't recognize me, do you?" "No," replied the then Speaker of the House. "You see, I'm so well known. I have this shock of white hair, this large red nose, and I'm on the TV news 2 or 3 times a week. A lot of people recognize me, but I meet so many people I can't keep track of them." The congressman paused and then he asked, "Who are you?" The man responded, "We met at a dinner party several weeks ago. My name is Robert Redford." Well, sometimes we are so preoccupied with ourselves, with our own troubles, our own needs, that we don't recognize Jesus when he comes. He comes when we least expect him. He is no ghost. He is no apparition. He is very real, and when we least expect him, there he is. Jesus is not some dead figure of the distant past. He is no figure limited to ancient history of 2,000 years ago. No, right in the midst of the storms of life, when we least expect him, there he is. The second point I want to make this morning is this: Jesus comes when we need him the most. You know, it's interesting to notice that when the disciples were doing what they were doing, it was exactly what Jesus had told them to do. They were not off on some spiritual tangent. They were not doing something on their own without his approval. They were not off on some escapade that he knew nothing about. They were doing exactly what he told them to do and going where he told them to go. And because they were being obedient, they were in danger. In commenting on this, Tom Cutting comments, "We make a terrible mistake to assume that everything will go well if we do right. Often we do what's right, and things still go badly." Has that ever been true in your life? It certainly has been true in mine. Last April the 22nd, I was just trying to do what I had felt God call me to do when I was struck down. And I'm not alone. Many of you have tried to be the person God has called you to be. You've tried to live the life God's asked you to live. And in spite of doing your very best, in spite of going exactly where God has told you to go, tragedy and despair sometimes strike. But the fact is, Jesus comes to us when we need Him the most. In the comic strip, Peanuts, Charlie Brown is always in need of help. In one series, he's consulting with Lucy, who's in business as a psychiatrist, offering advice for 5 cents. And Charlie confides to her, "Lucy," he says, "I need help. I can't seem to find a direction, a purpose for my life." "Oh, don't worry," says Lucy. "It's like being on a big ocean liner, making its way through the sea. Some folks put their deck chairs to face the bow of the ship. Some to face the side of the ship. Some put their chairs to face the stern of the ship. Which way are you facing, Charlie Brown?" And in a sad voice, Charlie responds, "I can't unfold the deck chair." Well, a lot of us are like that. We just can't get our deck chair unfolded. And suddenly there he is, when we least expect him. He comes and touches us on the shoulder and offers us the help we need. Last year there were times when I felt so alone, so desperate. And then early one day at 5 a.m, suddenly there he was. When the disciples saw him, the Bible tells us they cried out in fear. But he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Yes, he comes to us when we need him. That doesn't mean things always turn out the way we want or that things turn out the way we had hoped. It doesn't mean they turn out the way we prayed for. No, but it does mean that we don't have to be afraid. Because when we need Him the most, He's always there. Don't be afraid. It is I. Oscar Hammerstein II had the opportunity to fly over the Statue of Liberty in a helicopter. And he got to fly right over the top of the head of the statue. He reports to his amazement that the sculptor, with great attention to detail, had every hair on the top of the head in place. In commenting about it, Hammerstein said he was so impressed that though the sculptor lived long before helicopters or airplanes had been invented, and not knowing that the top of his work would ever be seen by anyone except perhaps a few seagulls, yet he took care to see that every hair on the top of the statue's head was in place. Well, so it is with God. Sometimes we think there are places in life that God will never see, or places in life that God doesn't care about. Yet there is no detail of our lives that escapes God. He counts every hair of our heads. And there's nothing in your life or mine that escapes His attention. Jesus says that not even a sparrow falls to the ground without the knowledge of God, and that you and I are worth more than many sparrows. And when we need Him, and there He is. As the Bible says, in the fourth watch of the night, the time when it's darkest before the dawn, He came to them. The third point I want to make this morning is this: when God seems the farthest away, Jesus comes. Now, there are times in my life when Jesus seems very close. Sometimes worshiping here, when the choir began to sing the call to worship this morning, that's so beautiful. And it made me feel very close to God. There have been times like that in your life, I'm sure. And it was true for the disciples. Just before they set sail, they had been with Jesus when He had fed the 5,000. And they felt the presence and the power of the Spirit of God as they passed out the bread to the hungry people. But out there on the Sea of Galilee, with the waves washing about them, with the wind whipping their sails to tatters, God seemed so far away. And yet it was precisely then, when He did seem far away, that Jesus came to them. Sometimes it's easy to feel the presence of God when the choir sings or when the hymns are sung, when things go well. But what of the stormy night? What of the stormy night when the winds are against us? One of our New Testament scholars has been William Barclay. When he was writing his commentary on the Gospel of St. Matthew, about the time that he came to the story that we read this morning of the boat in peril, his own daughter was lost in a boating accident. It took several weeks for the searchers to find her body. As the storm of his own loss shook his soul, he wrote these words: "The day my daughter was lost at sea, there was sorrow in the heart of God." And in his commentary on Matthew, when he came to the story about the boat in peril, writing about Jesus coming to his disciples in the storm, he said, "It is the sign and symbol of what Jesus always does for his people. He always does it when the wind is contrary, and when we are in danger of being overwhelmed by the storms of life." E. Stanley Jones, the great missionary, once talked about the difference between Christianity and other religions. And the difference was not that the other religions did not have truth, they have some truth. Not that they lacked noble sentiments, they have them. Not that they did not have gracious teachings. Not that they did not have a certain morality. No, they had some of all those things. But, said Dr. Jones, in those religions, the word only became a word. A word about teachings, a word about morality, a word about religion to be followed. And only within Christianity, he says, does the word become flesh. And that's what we need. Is it not? We don't need any new morality. We've got more than we know what to do with. We can't obey what we've got. We don't need new teachings. We have more than we've been able to learn. We don't need a new religion, for there are so many now we can't make sense of them. What we really need is someone. Someone who, in the midst of the storm, comes in flesh and says to us, "Don't be afraid. It is I." Yes, when God seems so far away and when we're threatened by the adversities of life, He comes to meet us. There's one final thing I want to call to our attention. Today, when He comes, we make a discovery. T.S. Eliot, in his great work, Four Quartets, pictures the entire human race as patients in a hospital ward. And there we lie, sick and dying. But there comes one who ministers to us as our physician. And He's the greatest physician in all the hospital. But as He ministers to us, as we look closely, we discover He Himself is wounded. He bends over us with bleeding hands. And that physician is Jesus. A story that came out of World War II concerns a young captain who saw a sergeant go down with a wound. Dashing out into the open field of fire, the captain dragged the sergeant to safety, but in the process was hit himself. Both were taken to the hospital, but only the sergeant lived, for the captain died. After the war was over, the sergeant was invited to dinner at the home of the parents of the captain. He arrived late. He was half drunk. He was rude, uncouth, impolite. After a beautiful dinner, he left without even mentioning the heroic act of the captain who had saved his life. When he was gone, the mother burst into tears and said to her husband, "To think that our son died to save a person like that." The physician with the wounded hands comes to us in the storms of life. In the process, we discover He has given Himself for us. We are not worth it. We are often rude, uncouth, and impolite. We do not deserve it. Such a love is beyond our comprehension. But that's the way it is with the visitor who comes to us in the darkest of the night. You see, He gave His life to save people like you and me. Let us pray.